welcome to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. Another good weekend of fights to look forward to and the betting around them as well. We're going to talk Broner Theophane, Cardle Godfielding, Rabrassan Mohammadi versus Callum Smith as well. First of all, welcome, Bunce. You all right?
Never been better, Lee. Never been better.
Excellent. Let's have a little chat about Anthony Joshua as well, because we're only a week away from this big fight. First of all, obviously be remiss of us not to wish the best to Nick Blackwell, his family and all his supporting team around him. We're not going to go into too much detail, because obviously Nick is still in hospital as we record this, so you know, people listen to podcasts all weekend, so we don't want to go too deeply into that. But you know, Bunce has been talking about it all week, and I'm sure if you want to read Bunce's stuff over the weekend, you'll see plenty on it. Anthony Joshua, Bunce, William Hill sponsoring this fight. Everyone's excited here about it. Even the marketing guys are interested in boxing all of a sudden, which is fantastic news. You know, I've listened to you, and you're not. We know you're under no illusion of where Anthony Joshua ranks in the overall scheme of things in the heavyweight division. This isn't a walkover, as the odds suggest, is it?
No, it's not a walkover, as the odds suggest. And more than that, what this is a fantastic heavyweight fight. Yeah. Between two guys who are still short of the top grade. But that's irrelevant. It's two unbeaten young in heavyweight terms, heavyweights, with so much at stake, not just financially, but there's a little bit of legacy building here. This is, I've got to be honest with you, this is a brilliant fight. I'll also be honest with you, it's spoiled sometimes by the addition of the red IBF belt. Mm. The belt confuses the issue, because people start talking about Anthony Joshua, he's ready for a world title, or Anthony Joshua, he's not ready for a world title. It's irrelevant. This is a brilliant international heavyweight fight. And had the IBF not stripped Tyson Fury in December last year, had they not ordered a fight between a man called Glazkov and Martin, and had Martin not knocked out Glazkov, this fight wouldn't be happening. Tyson Fury should still be the IBF champion, and then this fight would then be happening without the belt. And in that case, it would still be a great fight. It's a terrific fight. What some people are doing with their busy agendas to knock Joshua, okay, is they're saying, well, it's not worthy of a world title fight. Take the belt aside, look at the credentials of the two boxers, look at what's at stake, and then look me in the eye and tell me it's not one of the best heavyweight fight for a very long time. I love this fight. I think it's terrific. And I tell you what, I think Joshua wins, don't get me wrong, but I think everyone's dismissed Mr. Martin. Mm. That's rough.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing to do when you've got heavyweights in there. Plenty of betting on that already, so if you want to have a look. I'll tell you what I did, Bunce, yesterday. I watched the Joshua White fight again. What a fight that was. I've watched it three times now. I watched it on the night. I watched it. In fact, I didn't watch it on the night. I listened to you guys on Five Live on the night. I watched it twice the next day, I think. And then, great. You know, I can't wait to see White fight again, having watched that again. But fantastic. Worth checking out the BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. We talk about it a lot on there as well. That podcast's out there now. Let's have a look at the boxing this weekend. Should we start stateside with this Adrian Broner, Ashley Theophane fight? Obviously, Ashley kind of fighting out of Vegas these days, isn't he? Living over there, but originally, of course, from London. His record now reads 39-6-1. He's fighting Adrian Broner for the vacant WBA World Super Lightweight title. Obviously, Broner is one of the kind of I don't know if it's, you know, right to call him a superstar of the sport, but he certainly
is a star.
Yeah, a star of the
sport. He's a star and an attraction.
Yeah, 31-2-0 is Broner's record. Last seen, of course, losing to Sean Porter. Came back and won his fight since then. Obviously, lost to Marcus Maidana as well. But top level fighter, obviously, Bunce, against Theophane. Theophane's older than when I looked at his record. Just to kind of remind myself, he's older than I thought he was.
And Broner's younger than you thought he was.
Yes, yeah, true.
Broner's 5 years younger than you thought he was, and Theophane's 5 years older.
Yeah, Theophane.
Thought he was.
Is Theophane now a high-level opponent then? 1-12, Broner. 6-1, Theophane.
Listen, Theophane is a perfectly good opponent for what would have been a defence by Broner, but of course he came in 0.4 of a pound overweight, and therefore was stripped of the title at the scales, as we call it. Yep. He didn't even try and lose the weight. Now, 0.4 is not that much. He's got the most enormous beard. That's at least 0.1. Now, he's only got to shave and have a pee, and he's done the rest. He didn't even try. He forfeits $50,000, which he has to give to a FIFA. And that was a deal put in place by a man called Leonard Ellerby, who, of course, guides and looks after Floyd Mayweather, because that's the camp that FIFA fights out of. Fairfane's a perfectly acceptable opponent. Boxrec independent rankings, and I tend to go with them a lot. They have Fairfane at number 47. And if you think that's harsh, if you look in front of him, there's only one man in front of him, one man in the top 46 that he's actually beaten. So I guess that's fairly square. I mean, I suppose he could be at 46, and that guy should be at 47. But that's neither here nor there. The problem is that if Broner wins, the title remains vacant. Fairfane, however, can win the title if he beats the marginally overweight Broner. Floyd Mayweather has convinced Fairfane that he can win this fight, but I've known Ashley Fairfane since he was an amateur boxer at the All Stars Club in Northwest London, Harrow Road near Paddington. And he's always had a bit of a pace problem. He's not a fast fighter. He's a good pro. He's a good, solid pro. He likes 10 rounds. He likes 12 rounds. He's the kind of guy that would have loved 15 rounds. He'd have been a good cagey old pro in the 70s. And I just think that Broner is a bit sharper, a bit more adaptable. And at the end of the day, we all criticise Broner. He's a really good fighter. World champion at a couple of weights. He's messed up in a couple of fights. Some he's won, some he's lost. He's a really, really good fighter. And unless he's got some real problems. Unless he's had some real problems in the gym, he's had some problems away from the gym. There's a couple of arrest warrants out for him as we speak, which seems bizarre, because you know where he is. He's on live on TV weighing in, for God's sake. You note to police, he's the geezer with the big beard weighing in, with Adrian on his T-shirt, but that's neither here nor there. So unless Broner's really cut corners in the gym, which, believe it or not, he doesn't. For all his lunacy and mayhem and insulting stuff and bad history, he's actually, he's a quality fighter and he trains hard. I just think he'll have too much for Ashley. And I've seen Ashley hurt and wobbled last year, the day before Mayweather fought Pacquiao. He got hurt, wobbled and dropped in the 10th round of a really hard fight. I see something like that, and I just see Broner getting on top in the last four or five rounds and getting to Ashley after about eight.
Let's have a quick look at the odds around the stoppages. There's a few different markets here. So if you're looking at, there's no grouped round betting, unfortunately, so you kind of have to do it yourself. But Broner, in like round eight, for instance, is 16s. 16s for round nine, 18s for round 10, 22s for 11, 25 to 12. So you can group them together yourself, and obviously you just split your stakes between them, £3 on each. 12, 11, 10 would be the way to do it. That gives you, more or less a £9 bet on the three there. So interesting one. And if it gets stopped in any of those three rounds, the minimum you could win would be £57. So that's the way to do it. It just takes a bit of work. You think they do it for us, wouldn't you, Buncey, these bookmakers? But there you go.
It's not hard.
Yeah, it's not hard. Let's move closer to
the Echoes.
Yeah, the Echo Arena, which is a fantastic venue for boxing, and we've got some good fights on the card as well. Let's start off with this rematch between Sean Dodd and Scott Cardle. Scott Cardle owns the British lightweight title at the moment. He fought Sean Dodd in November and beat him, stopped him. And so the rematch is here, Buncey. He's 4-11 to do it again, just to win again, that is. 21-10 for Dodd to win and 20-1 the draw. The knockout for Cardle to win by stoppage is 13-8. Dodd by stoppage is 8-1. Decision for Cardle is 11-8, and decision for Dodd is 7-2. What's your thoughts on this rematch?
Well, the interesting thing is, the last time out, Cardle took it lightly. He was training to fight one guy, and then, if I'm not mistaken, Dodd beat that guy, Buckland, so he ends up fighting. Dodd fights Cardle, Masher, as he's known in Liverpool. Gets in the ring with Cardell and was winning on two of the three scorecards when it was stopped in the 12th and final round. And what's more, he was winning as well. I mean, to be honest with you, I thought he was a good two or three rounds in front. So one just went against him by a point, but he was stopped, rightly so. So the argument is, and it's not the argument, the question is quite simple. Did Cardell take him lightly on account of his record and the fact that he knew him and knew that really he was the superior fighter, massive GB, amateur experience, nearly qualified for the Olympics, blah, blah, blah? Or did, and equally, did Dodd overestimate how good Cardell is. So going into the rematch, will it be Cardell who gets right what he got wrong, or will it be Dodd who adds to what he was doing and improves on what he did? I don't think this is a foregone conclusion at all. I really don't. This is the kind of fight that Dodd, who's a mature man, this might have catapulted him further ahead. Equally, Joe Gallagher, who's in charge of Cardell, insists that no, it won't be the case. Cardell's got the grade, he's got the skills, he's got the class, and he'll dominate. So it's a real I mean, I've got to be honest, I think this is a toss of coin.
Right.
Toss of coin fight. I'm going to go for Cardell to repeat what he did, and possibly under the same circumstances, to be behind again. Wouldn't surprise me if Dodd's up about 5 or 6 rounds going in around 7 or 8.
But I just
fancy Cardell to do it again.
Yes, so Cardell is odds on. So you think, well, you think he'll win it? Think I'll go the distance this time then, Bunty?
I think he will go the distance this time, yeah.
So 11-8, Cardell by decision. It's a big couple of weeks for the super middleweight division in Britain. We've got a couple of good fights this weekend, and we've got De Gale and Groves back in action as well soon. Let's have a look at Rocky Fielding. First of all, he's up against Christopher Rabras, who, if you're a boxing fan, you'll recognise the name. He was the guy that Groves fought following the second Froch fight, wasn't it? It was his comeback fight.
Yeah.
I think he went the distance in beating him and winning the European belt then. Rocky Fielding faces the Frenchman this weekend. 24-4, Rabras. His losses have come against Callum Smith, against George Groves. And then a couple of losses earlier in his career as well.
All on points, though.
Goes a distance, doesn't he? The only defeat for Rocky Fielding so far in his pro career of 22 fights was last time out when that great build-up to that Callum Smith fight, and Callum Smith just destroyed him in that fight, didn't he? It was a very...
He did, but he got caught first. That was this fight where the two of them with their hearts. Great, great entertainment.
Yeah, it was great entertainment, wasn't it? It was, and great spirit afterwards between the two of them as well.
Yeah.
But that's the first taste of defeat for Rocky Fielding, and he likes to stop people as well. Mm. I mean, stopping this guy, as you've just mentioned, would be difficult. Good test, though, isn't it? It's a good comeback fight for Rocky Fielding.
It's a really good one, and I've got to be honest with you, it shows a degree of commitment by the matchmakers at Matchroom, because in all fairness, if Rocky Fielding came back here against one of those guys from somewhere like Croatia or Estonia with a slightly paunchy belly who fell over in 5 rounds, it would be rubbish then, because then, you know, if his next fight is a decent fight, it would be rubbish. This is a real test. This is a real good fight. Listen, he wins. Rocky wins on points. There's no two ways about it. If he does any better than that, it's a great win. But a win on points would do two things. First of all, it gives him a few rounds. And secondly, it keeps him absolute contention. He's doing what Groves did. He's doing what Callum Smith did. And that's what you have to do if you're a super middleweight in this country. You just got to stay in contention. You just got to stay there. You just got to keep chasing. Jamie Cox has just got to keep chasing. You know, he might be the secret, Jamie Cox. Callum Smith has just got to stay busy, like he's been doing. We'll talk about him in a moment. Rocky's got to stay busy, but in good fights. You know, you can't fight bums and keep going. This is a good fight. It might not be a brilliant fight to watch, but it's a terrific distance fight. So Rocky wins on points and stays absolutely in contention.
Mm. 8-11 the price for Fielding to win by on points there. So it's 1-5 to win the fight, though. So I know it sounds a bit doesn't sound the greatest price, but it's not bad compared to his actual price to win it. Let's have a look at Callum Smith next, then, shall we? This is for the super middleweight European belt, isn't it? Of course, against Hadila Muhammadi, who has a record of 23-1. His losses, or more recently, have come against James De Gale, of course, back in 2012, and Nikolai Shiklocka, who was also he was unbeaten at the time, in 2012 as well. Since then, he's unbeaten. He's fought 6 times and won all of them, of course. Callum Smith is the kind of the next great hope, isn't he? And the guy who may just fit into the shoes of George Groves if Groves doesn't continue to improve. Beating Rabras, we've talked about him. He's beating Fielding, of course, in that last fight. And he's just building up into a real contender at world level, it seems to me, Buncey, Callum Smith.
Yeah,
he's a big favourite to win here, as you might expect.
He's a big favourite to win here, and you know, I can't see anything other than points. Mohammadi doesn't get stopped, if I'm not mistaken. And Mohammadi's one of his losses was to that guy Shaglocka, and Callum Smith beat Shaglocka on points, had a virtual shutout. Yeah. What Callum can do, because he's got, and I hate to keep using this word, he's got this amateur grade, is he doesn't have to go for a first round knockout. If it comes, it comes. He can, you know, he likes the distance. Two of his last, he's got 2 12 rounders in his last three or four. Or fights, not afraid of going 12 rounds. He's developing after just 18 fights and a few years at 25 into a really good pro. So anything better than points would be a bit of a shock. But I fancy, you know, almost a shutout again. Wouldn't surprise me if Fielden has a shutout. Wouldn't surprise me if Smith has a shutout. And what he does then, he puts a bit of pressure on people like James DeGale to take him, on people like George Groves to take him, and the 12 rounds against a guy like Mohammadi. By the way, if Mohammadi was fighting James DeGale for the world title, no one would complain. If Mohammadi was fighting Badu Jack for the world title, no one would complain. You know, Shaglocka had already fought for the world title, I think, against Arthur Abraham, plus he had a loss to Sakio Bika. That's where Callum Smith is, and that's where really, to a degree, Rocky Fielding is almost, you know, he's near to there. He's just below him. So Callum Smith wins on point, wide. And the real interesting fight is going to be if he can get George Groves in the ring. I'm not sure he'll be able to. I think George Groves will hold out for a bigger fight and not risk losing at domestic level, because he will consider that, quote, a backward step. It's not a backward step.
But surely, after all the stick he gave Carl Froch, he'd take any fight, wouldn't he, Bunsey?
Well, I don't know.
I'm being facetious, you know, of course.
If he can get in with, you know, everyone seems to want to fight Arthur Abraham. They think he's an easy touch. But unfortunately, most of the people think he's an easy touch. Lose to him. He's got a title defence coming up in a couple of weeks, which is a tough one. It's against a fearsome banger from Mexico. James DeGale is having a fight overseas for the third time. He's not very happy about that. He'd rather be fighting on the bill next week with... he'd rather be fighting on the bill next week with... AJ, and of course the mad thing is apparently he was upset with the idea that he would be a supporting contest to AJ, who he would consider a relative novice.
Yes.
So instead he's going to Canada, where he's going to be the supporting contest to Lucien Boutte, who of course he beat in his last fight. But go figure. That's boxing reasoning and sense for you.
Yeah.
DeGale and Groves, with Callum Smith thrown in the middle, that's a nice little trio. But just a little bit of information for the people at Sky. There's a guy called Jamie Cox out there. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, I'd match Jamie Cox with any of them tomorrow. I'm not saying he'd beat them, but it would be a fight. Of course, he's been blotted out of the Sky super middleweight rankings and ratings and top three and top four, just like Terry Flanagan was last year. But hey-ho.
Well, it's exciting times. I mean, super middleweight is and has been a favourite amongst British boxing, hasn't it? And it's great to see Mark coming through. It's one of my favourite divisions.
First ever world champion was British-born. IBF Scottish-born Murray Sutherland.
Nice. Great info. Great bit of trivia.
First ever one.
Bunsey, let me just remind you of these. Have I got these right? Callum Smith by decision, we're going for.
Yep.
Fielden by decision.
Yep.
Scott Cardle by decision.
Yep.
And Broner by stoppage.
Yeah, Broner by stoppage. Cardell might be the only other one that's a stoppage of the three. That would be
those four that I've listed. 32-1, that is.
Bloody, excuse my French. That's unbelievable.
That's all right, isn't it? You're not used to the prices like that. Yeah, there you go. Those Bunsey's. That's the accumulator. You could obviously have them as doubles as well if you wanted to. But a fiver on that returns £167 if it comes in. So,
well, let's hope Broner doesn't get a comfortable lead and fall asleep and just cope to the finish line posing. Let's hope he tries to. You know,
you always need a little bit of luck on your hand, on your side when you're betting on boxing, Bunsey. So
when you're betting on Brony, you need a lot of luck.
Yeah, Bunsey, thanks for your time. We'll speak to you again next week, of course, with the build up to Joshua Martin and that card as well. So in the meantime, enjoy the weekend's boxing.
Lee, thanks very much. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.